Blog Talk Radio.
Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. Tonight's topic is entitled, First I Ran to You, Now I Run From You. And the song that we was listening to is called Tainted Love. Tainted Love. Pause and think about that. Tonight, we're going to be discussing toxic relationships, eloquently speaking about toxic relationships that started out healthy and ended up being unhealthy. Tonight's topic is going to be interactive, so I welcome you to join in when I open up the mics on that level. But first, I want to talk about Tainted. And for those of you that just joined us, the song that we was listening to was Tainted Love. And the lyrics say, first I ran to you, now I run from you. And we all have had a situation in our lives where there was someone in our lives. It didn't have to be an intimate relationship, because it could have been a professional relationship. It could have been a parental, a sibling, a best friend. But the love that filled your heart, the joy that filled your heart when you met that person, and whether you grew in relationship with them, if it was a family member, if it was a coworker, if it was a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or just your brother and sister in church. It was the most beautiful feeling in the world, and you shared everything. You was happy to be with that person. You shared wonderful, positive, uplifting things. And then slowly, things began to change. What happens when love turns cold. Well, that's something that we're going to open up for discussion, but I want to talk about what happens when love is warm and when love is hot, when love is just blossoming in the air. You can feel it, you can touch it, you can smell it, and it's so contagious. So I want you to think about your first love. And I want you to think about the time that you spent talking on the telephone with your first love. Because when we were back in school, in our school days, we would be on the telephone talking for hours. But when you first met that first love, whatever his name was or whatever her name was, guess what? In the beginning, you didn't have too much to say. I mean, you may have talked to like for an hour, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, but then the more you got to know them, the more time you spent with them on the telephone. And every time that phone rang, you was picking that phone up because you were so excited. Your love for that person, the excitement for that person was pure. So I want to turn that same affection and attention to your relationship with, and let me rephrase that, to our relationship with God. And it's the same way. When we first met God, when we first fell in love with God, oh my goodness, we couldn't wait to talk to God. We couldn't wait to pray. We couldn't wait to praise him and worship him and spend time with him. And we just enjoy being in his presence. And I'm sharing the example because sometimes we enter into relationships with a human being. And in the same example I gave for a childhood sweetheart, let's apply that to our children, because sometimes we fall in love with our children. I don't know a mother that has not fallen in love with her child. And when that little child is a baby, oh my goodness, it's just looking back at you, it's cooing at you, it's wonderful. But as that child begins to grow and they get older and they start talking back, you still love them, but the love relationship starts to change a little bit. And it's the same way in a relationship. So everything I'm saying, I'm going to compare it to our relationship with God. Because ultimately, although we are going to talk about toxic relationships, we're also going to identify those areas in our own lives where we have become toxic, not in our relationship with God because we love him, but parts of our hearts have been tainted through other relationships and interactions with those that we love that affected our relationship with God. And some people have been hurt. Some people have been wounded. Some people have been disappointed. Some people have been abandoned. Some people have been rejected. Some people have been ostracized. And whatever it is that happened to them, it moved them away from God. And so once they ran to God, now they run away from God. And what are some of the things that will cause us to run away from God? So when we talk about the people that are in relationships with God, those that love God, especially small children, because most abuse and toxic relationships, it blossoms at a young age, not for everyone, because some people, it's at a teenager, it's a young adult, it's at an older adult. But pure love, when we're looking at an innocent person that has never been touched, has been never been abused, never been touched in the wrong way, if they are abused at a young age, immediately, their love, the purity of their love is tainted. And so they don't look at love the same way. They don't look at God the same way. And they tend to run away from God. So are you today? Maybe you're not running away from God, but maybe at one point in your relationship with God, you ran away from him because of something that happened to you. And God didn't even have nothing to do with what happened to you, but you found yourself running away from God. Or you was in a relationship with someone that it used to be healthy, it was very pure, but then it was tainted. And when something is tainted, it is contaminated, it is polluted, and it is infected, it becomes foul, it's spoiled. If you leave lunch meat out too long, it will get spoiled. It will get soiled. It will begin to stink. And so sometimes our hearts become polluted because of things that have been done to us, things that have been said to us, and things that have been spoken over us. There's a lot of ways that people are abused. We have mental abuse. We have psychological abuse. We have emotional abuse. We have verbal abuse. We have sexual abuse. And again, I want to say that tonight's topic is, first, I ran to you. Now, I run from you. We are talking about toxic relationships, and we're going to be comparing them to our relationship with God. So I want to say definition for toxic is something that is poisonous. And the example, it says the dumping of toxic waste. Toxic is also something that is venomous. It is noxious. It is dangerous. It is destructive. It is harmful. It is not safe for you. It is injurious. It is pernicious. It is environmentally unfriendly. When you are dealing with someone that is toxic, sometimes it can be fatal. It can be deadly. It can be lethal. And we want to ensure that we get rid of any toxic waste that is present in our hearts, in our mind, in our souls, in our will, in our intellect. Many times when things happen to us, we do one of two things. We either internalize or we internalize and go inward and we hide it in the deep places of our heart. Or we express how we feel externally. And we speak what we feel. We do things. We display behaviors that is not true to our nature because of our reaction to what happened to us. So many times it's not what happens to us is real. I don't want to take away from that because it's real. And if anyone has ever been violated, mistreated, abused, whatever category it falls in, it doesn't feel good at all. And we all have a right to feel the way we feel, to express how we feel. And we need to practice expressing how we feel in a positive way, in a safe atmosphere with someone we know that will help us, that will help us to grow through our transition, through opening up and sharing what happened to us, someone that will not criticize or condemn us. But someone that will just take the time to listen, if that's all you need, is someone to listen. And sometimes we need someone to give us some feedback, and then you can welcome that person to give you some feedback. Because the truth is, we all need somebody, but we have to use wisdom when we're talking about things that hurt us, things that, you know, nobody really wants to say, hey, I was abused or I was mistreated or I was in love one time and that love was good, but at some point it turned bad. And when it turned bad, it affected my relationship with God. It affected my ability to love God. It affected my ability to trust God. So have you ever been in a situation like that where something negative happened to you and you didn't do it on purpose, but it affected your relationship with God, and your relationship with God was tainted at that point? So I'm going to pause for a moment, and I'm going to play the song over again so that those that didn't hear the song can hear the song. And then we are going to go back into the discussion. And thank you for your patience one moment. Love, and the inspiration behind this song actually came for those lyrics. And I was just singing, and I said, once I ran to you, and I'm not singing on key, but I thought about the times that I actually ran away from God myself. And most of you that have been following me for a while, especially on the prayer line before I came to the radio, I always say that I use my private pain for public profit. So there was a time in my life where I was abused, and I didn't tell anyone, and I hid the secret, and it was slowly eating me away, and I began to run away from God. I mean, I love God. I passionately love God so much, but I felt unworthy, and I felt like I didn't deserve anything good to happen to me because of what happened to me. And it took some time for God to really deal with me and to heal me and to just open my mind enough where I could come running back to him. Because one, and this might blow your mind, but God missed me. Me, Stacy Cheryl Lunsford. God missed me. I said, God, what is so special about me that you miss me when I feel so dirty, when I feel so polluted, where I feel so, like, unclean because of the violation against my body, my mind, my soul, and my spirit. So God, being the loving God that he is, he let me know that what happened to me was not a result of who I am. What happened to me was a display of the spirit of robbery that wanted to steal my identity in Christ and wanted to steal my love for God. It wasn't even about what happened to me. It was about my reaction to what happened to me. So God had to teach me how to understand his word in Psalms 51 and verse 10. And for those of you that are following along, I'll give you a moment. I love to share the word, to give the word also, so that we can follow along. Always check for yourself. People can say whatever they want to say the word is saying. But if you don't check for yourself, you don't know if they're speaking the truth. So you may not know if I'm speaking the truth. And if I'm not speaking the truth, then I want you to correct me because you have it like that. But we should correct one another when a word is not being rightly divided. So Psalms 51 and verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Let me read that over again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So we all have an unclean heart at different times in our lives. David had an unclean heart because of the sinful acts that he committed against God. So sometimes sinful things happen, that things happen that we do, and then sometimes sinful things happen against us when people violate us. Now, David had violated some people, Bathsheba, her husband, he committed murder. He put Uriah on the hottest part of the fire. And before I even go there, I want to talk about David and Uriah for a moment because we are talking about relationships and toxic relationships. But I want to use David and Uriah as an example of a good relationship that went bad. Now, the backdrop to this discussion tonight is eloquently speaking about toxic relationships and codependent relationships, because sometimes we enter into codependent relationships, and that simply means that the person that we're in a relationship with, and it doesn't have to be an intimate relationship. Like when I say relationships, we're talking about a wide variety of relationships. But you're in a relationship, it could be a brother, sister, cousin, coworker, friend. It could be a husband, a boyfriend. But you're in this relationship and everything is going well, but you didn't know that this person had an addiction. They were addicted to drugs. They were alcoholics. And then all of their negative behaviors start showing, coming to the surface. All of the dysfunction begins to leak out into your life, into your relationship. So now you're the caretaker of this person that you once had a healthy relationship with. And now all of a sudden things are not healthy, it's unhealthy, and it's affecting you. So once I ran to you, now I run from you. So let's go to David and Uriah for a moment. David was supposed to be away in the battlefield, and he was home resting. And while he was resting, he saw Bathsheba on the rooftop, and he wanted her, and so he sent for her, and he ended up having sex with her. So Bathsheba was one of his soldiers' wife, and Uriah was out on the battlefield. So when David slept with Bathsheba, he sent for Uriah from the battlefield, and you'll find this story in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. So he sent for Uriah to come home because David impregnated Bathsheba. So he wanted Uriah to take responsibility for being the father's child by having, you know, being intimate with his wife. But Uriah was a faithful soldier. He did not want to go home and get a bath, get a shower, get good food and all of that stuff. He sat at David's house because all of the rest of the soldiers was out there fighting. But he was so committed and dedicated to David because he loved him. So Uriah refused to sleep with his wife. And now David is afraid that he is going to be found out. So he put a hit out on Uriah, who was one of his best soldiers and a good friend of David's. And remember, we're talking about codependent relationships and toxic relationships. Uriah thought he was safe with David. And as long as David kept his lustful desires to himself, guess what? Uriah was safe. But the moment David gave in to his lustful desires, Uriah's life changed. Uriah's life was taken away from him because David placed him on the hottest part of the fire and of the war, and Uriah died. So that brings me to Psalms 51 and verse 10. In Psalms 51, it's a psalm of repentance. It's David's plea for mercy. It's a psalm of cleansing in which God wants our hearts to be right with him. So somebody may be listening tonight, and you may have displayed behavior similar to David, not that you committed adultery, not that you lied, not that you killed someone, but you may have performed a negative act towards someone, and you feel bad about it, and you doubt whether God still loves you or God can use you, and you may have run away from God. This particular scripture in Psalms 51 and verse 10 is to let you know that God is waiting to create in you a clean heart. God wants to renew in you a right spirit. And dig this. It's David said, renew in me a right spirit. Now, he said this because he knew that he was operating in a wrong spirit. So when we're operating in a wrong spirit, we're dealing with the spirit of error. And when you deal with the spirit of error, everything that you do is wrong because it's done in error. And you will think that you're right, but you'll be wrong. The pride will rise up within you, and you will think that, again, you're right, but you're wrong. And God wants us to recognize when we are not walking in truth. And we all know for ourselves when we are walking in truth and when we are walking in error, because we know right from wrong. So I want to give one more scripture, and then I'm going to go back to Psalms 51 and 10. Then we're going to open up the discussion because I want to make my point with David and Uriah and how they had a perfect relationship and then how that relationship changed. So 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 6. And the word says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, verse 6, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I thank God for his word. And I took my time to read that because I want you to understand that there are some terminologies that I use that may be new to you. Maybe you never heard them before, but there is biblical significance to it. So when we look at Psalms 51 and verse 10, It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So David knew that he was operating in a wrong spirit, and a wrong spirit is a spirit of error. Now, how do we know? What's the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth? Well, we just read it in the Word. And we must try the spirit by the spirit. And this connects me to what I was saying about you're in a good relationship and everything is going well. And then all of a sudden, that person may say something off the wall, or that person may say something so negative, it's contrary to everything that you believe. And I mean, it just shocks you. It could be vulgar. It could be offensive. And so you got to step back for a moment and say, wow, what spirit is this in operation? Like, where was this spirit hiding at? And spirits love to hide. And that's why we have to pray and ask God to strengthen our discernment. So David wrote this psalm, Psalms 51. And when you get a chance to read it, it's a wonderful psalm. And it opens up, David asks God, he say, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. David recognized that he was wrong for committing adultery with Bathsheba. David realized he was wrong for lying and hiding the fact that he got her pregnant. David realized he was wrong for orchestrating the assassination of Uriah. But even though he knew this was wrong, he did not take ownership of it. He kept going on about his business, but God sent the prophet Nathan to correct David and to tell David, you know, God is aware of what you did. I'm paraphrasing, but you need to humble yourself and you need to repent. And so David loved God so much. He was a man after God's own heart, even though he did all of these things. And I stress that because many times we go through difficulties. We experience heartaches and our expectations are lowered because of disappointments. And so many things happen to us and it affects our heart. It affects our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with God. And if we are not paying attention, the enemy will creep in and will speak lies to us, and we will begin to believe those lies. And once we believe the lies of the enemy, we will receive the spirit of error. And it's a very subtle way that it creeps into our lives, and it loves to, it's a seducing spirit. The spirit of error works closely with a seducing spirit. And so when we're wounded, that's when we need to really draw closer to God versus running away from him. But if we go to the Garden of Eden for a moment, Adam and Eve, when they realized that they were naked, they tried to hide from God. And God said, Adam, where are you? You know, so God is concerned about us, even when we fall short of the glory of God. Now, when Adam finally responded, God didn't like rah, rah, rah. He didn't holler at him. Yes, he got corrected. Eve was corrected too. They got banned from the garden. Everything that was easy became hard for them. But the point I'm making is God knows when we fall short of the glory of God. We know when we fall short of the glory of God. We know when those that hurt us fall short of the glory of God. But we must learn how to operate in a spirit of forgiveness. And we must forgive those that hurt us, and we must ask forgiveness for those that we hurt, because sometimes we do the polluting. Sometimes we do the tainting, and it's up to us to make those situations right where we hurt people. So going back to David and Uriah, they had a wonderful relationship. They were great warriors. They fought many battles together, but their relationship became tainted the moment. And I'm not even going to say the moment he had sex with Uriah's wife. Their relationship became tainted the moment David crossed Uriah's boundary. God say, one, don't commit adultery. But he looked at her. When he looked and saw her naked up on that roof, he should have turned away, but he didn't. He glared. He stared. He lusted after her. He sent for her. So that was the turning point of their relationship, where David violated Uriah, and Uriah didn't even know. And because David loved Uriah, he tried to hide it. He tried to cover it up. So that's why I wanted to go to Psalms 51. And if you bear with me just one moment, I want to share some of the warning signs of being in a broken relationship. And one is what I just said, the lack of boundaries. Two, poor self-esteem. Three, the self-image. And reactivity, responding to yourself based on what happened to you. And we have to remember that what happened to us does not dictate to us who we are. So we read Psalms 51. We shared about David asking God to create in him a clean heart and renewing him a right spirit. And I did that for four reasons. Tonight, I want you to walk away with this very short prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, please correct, cleanse, sanctify my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. If there's any toxic stuff in my heart, reveal it to me. If there's any toxic thoughts running around in my mind, help me to identify these things so that you can correct the way I hear things, so that you can correct how I express myself, how I think. Because whether we realize it or not, everything that happens to us, whether it's good or bad, we hold on to it. But for some reason, we hold on to the bad things more than we hold on to the good things. So our message is, first I ran to you, now I run from you. So for those that have been running away from God, God wants you to stop running, and he wants you running away from him, but he wants you to run straight to him. Because when I shared my story, I said God was waiting for me to come back. And we all know the story of the prodigal son. And that was a toxic relationship too. That prodigal son, I could sit here and give you so many examples, but I'm going to open up the mics for our interaction. And if anyone, Mike Smith, I see your hand is up and you have been patiently waiting. And how are you tonight? And you are welcome to share whatever is standing out to you with this message so far. Mike, are you there?
Hello?
Okay. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Well,
how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for joining. So what stands out to you with this discussion tonight?
When you talk about toxic relationships.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay, I'm trying to get to where I can in a good spot here. I've been in a number of toxic relationships, and you know, a lot of times you forget, you know, to even go to God, you know, for help and wisdom, and what to do as far as this situation that you're in goes, and you begin to think like I did for a long time. I thought I was the problem for a lot of years until God told me otherwise. Because I kept finding myself in these situations that I don't even know how I got into them. It just showed up.
I'm not laughing, what? Andrew, but I love how you express yourself, and it is so real. Because, like, you in a perfectly healthy relationship, and then all of a sudden the crazy stuff start happening, and you be like, how did I get here?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, you think, oh, this person is so wonderful, but there's red flags that show up that you don't even realize are there. You know, and it's like, hello, you know, I'm trying to get your attention before you make the wrong move here. And it's like, well, you're in love with this person, so you don't even think about it, you know, that the warning signs are there. And then all of a sudden, what, you know, your spirit tried to warn you about all of a sudden just happens. And you're like, what? That's kind of where I've been at. You know, and then you're kicking yourself thinking it's your fault for being there.
And you know, most people tend to think that it's their fault. And I love how you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I did for a long time. I thought everything was my fault.
And we do, but that's the lie that the enemy plants. And that's, you know, I should have read John 10:10. Because the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And remember,
right,
I always identify the spirit of robbery. So he said, the enemy, whatever happened to us, whatever toxic, you know, whatever poison got into our mind, into our heart, our feelings, our emotions. And that's really what happens. If you think about a person that is shooting up drugs, they're shooting up heroin, or they're shooting up crack cocaine, whatever they're using, but they're injecting it. They're injecting poison into their body. When we receive the toxic lies, the toxic poison from venomous words, from people that are sent on an assignment to hurt us, we receive that poison into our mind, into our spirit, and into our soul. Now, our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our intellect. And most people, even though we're born-again believers, we tend to hang out in that soulless realm. And it's in that soulless realm where real salvation, like real deliverance and healing is needed, because that's where all of those hurts, that's where all of those wounds. And, Mike, when you say, I'm the problem, Satan injected that into your system. And so you rehearse that over and over, even though there was wonderful things happening in your life. And for those of you that are listening, you are not exempt, all of us. God was still blessing us. God was still taking care of us, providing for us. But we kept going back to that broken record. I'm the problem. It's my fault. I shouldn't have did this. I shouldn't have said that. And so we're constantly speaking negative words, which are self-imposed curses. And so we become toxic to ourselves. And at that point, we don't need anybody else to inject us with poisonous words. We have perfected it. We're good at it. And Satan is sitting back laughing, saying, I got another one. They're going to stay stuck in this cycle. They're going to run far away from God because I'm going to inject them with another dose of God will never forgive you. God don't even look at you the same anymore. And the devil is a liar. All he do is speak lies. And he tell stories that when you're hurt and you're wounded, people believe it. And Mike, that's where we have to start holding everything to the word of God. 2 Chronicles 10:3-6. Is something that we should bookmark, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So going back to what you said, I'm the problem. You're not the problem.
Yeah, I'm learning,
the problem,
learning that now.
And so from the time you felt that way and to where you are now, just explain how you got there. and how you know that you're not the problem?
Well, like I said, I've been through a lot of things in my life, from, you know, bullying as a child to emotional abuse as an adult, in various relationships, and the criticism, judgment, and condemnation and belittlement, and you name it, that I have gone through made me believe that, you know, I am, people say I am, and then, you know, within the last couple of years when I got to a better location and stuff, that's when God started to show me that I'm not who those people say I am, but I Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that just blew my mind. It took me quite a bit of time to even wrap my head around just those few words, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and I'm sitting going, how can you say that about me, God? All these other people said all this stuff for, you know, 40, 50 years, and now you're telling me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Where was this statement along, you know, 30 years ago? It was right in my word. You just didn't look at it. You know? I'm like, yeah, okay, you're right. I'm wrong. I stand corrected. And I'm
so
still working on wrapping my head around that. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Finish what you were saying.
Fine. No,
okay. You're still trying to wrap your head around it.
Around those few words that I, you know, where he's telling me that you are who I say you are, not who everybody else says you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. It's an amazing transformation, I guess you could say, in the fact that I'm starting to realize that I'm his, I'm loved by him. You know, whether anybody else in this world ever truly loves me for me or not, you know, I'm always going to be loved by him because he made me.
Yeah. And that is beautiful. And that's what I want for the end result of this message today, is for everyone to know that regardless of what happened to you, regardless of what toxic person entered your life, you don't have to stay there. You know, the stop sign, you know, on the street, the stop sign means stop. But then sometimes you have a sign that says you can't park here, or it says parking available. Sometimes we get to that place where we're so consumed by the toxic energy around us that we can't move and we stay stuck. We get parked there.
Yep.
And earlier I gave the definitions. I said poisonous, venomous, noxious, dangerous, destructive. It's very destructive behavior when we stay parked in a toxic place. There are many
Yes.
people that stay in toxic relationships because their will is so reduced to nothing. And I have to mention a narcissistic person. A person that is in a narcissistic relationship, they are very kind. They're very loving. It could be a male or a female, but they love you. They are so helpful to you. They get to know your family, your friends, and everybody think he or she is just the best thing that ever happened to you. But behind closed doors, now he got to know you. He got to know everything about you, he or she, and now they turn on you.
Yep.
And they use put-downs. They use put-downs
yep.
to put you down, to kill your spirit, to kill your confidence, your self-esteem, and now you in this dangerous place because you no longer think that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You no longer feel pretty. You don't feel loved. You feel ashamed. You feel embarrassed. You feel humiliated. And guess what? He threatens you. If you go to your family, I'm going to tell them that you did this. So whatever it is that you did that your family, you don't want your family or your friends to know, that person will blackmail you into staying in a relationship with them, a toxic relationship, a destructive relationship. And like I said earlier, some of the examples of being in a codependent relationship, the person could be an alcoholic, it could be a drug addict, but it could just be somebody that is struggling with anger, or it could be somebody that has a controlling spirit. You know, as many things that we can bring out in this discussion. And all I want to know is, how do we overcome these type of behaviors? How do we get unstuck? And we get unstuck, Mike, by Psalms 51 and 10, asking God to create in us a clean heart. Because once we invite God in, regardless of what happened to us, God begins to cleanse us from the inside out. And where all that negative energy was stored up, oh, my gosh, Jesus coming here with the air freshener, you know, oh, push the curtains back. When that maid come into their hotel room, oh, we're just going to freshen up and put some fresh linen on the bed. You know, Jesus comes in and cleans up our hearts, and we begin to heal.
That's right.
And it's such a beautiful thing.
It is. I mean, I sit there sometimes, and you know, I mean, and here's the other side of this is, you know, you're in one of these toxic relationships, and the person walks out on you and blames you for the relationship falling apart.
Yes,
I've
that's what
that
they
happen.
Do. Mm-hmm.
I've had that before. And
they
that
love.
Just, that, reinforces what the enemy's trying to do to you.
Yes. They love to fault find. But I want to go through a list. Well, first, if anyone else is listening, if you wanted to chime in, please just press 1 on your phone and we'll include you in on the discussion. Like I said, this is interactive. But I'm going to provide, let me get back to my page. I want to provide some of the warning signs of being in a physical abusive relationship, a sexual abusive relationship. And all of this is warning signs for a toxic relationship or a relationship that has gone bad. And remember, our topic is, first I ran to you and now I run from you. And so although we do need to run away from toxic people, we don't need to run away from God. Because even though those things that happen to us is very painful, God can handle it. It's not too big for God. And sometimes we think God can't handle this, or we think we feel too dirty, we feel too polluted, like God can't handle this stench. No, he can. God is God. And things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. Man don't always forgive, but God always forgives. So we want to remember that we can run to God because God loves us. He cares for us. And even though we get hurt and we find ourselves in these difficult situations, many people turn their back on God because they say, God, why did you allow this to happen? And some bad things happen to good people sometimes. But
yes.
God used those for his glory, and we grow in the midst of it from the lessons that we learn. So signs of physical abuse, it could be somebody choking you, somebody slapping you, somebody shoving, kicking, punching, or even hitting you. They could, if you have animals in domestic violence training, we learned that your pets are often used as weapons of mass destruction. And what I mean by that, most people love their pets, but the abusive partner will threaten to kill their pet. And that terrorizes the person, and it places them under their control. And they do whatever they say do because they don't want them to harm their cats or their dogs or their fish or their bird. And that's horrible. How can you say that you love somebody and then, one, you're going to put your hands on them, and then, two, you're going to threaten their animals? Like, I don't want to be with someone where you got to threaten me to stay with you. Because any threats, anything, any negative behavior you display, like, you have to do that consistently to keep me. So why would somebody want to be in a relationship like that anyway? And there's only one answer. It's control. People that struggle with low self-esteem and they have issues, might they're the ones that tend to be controlling and dominating and want to dictate to other people how they're going to live their lives according to their timetable. And that's so wrong. So we have most people that are in abusive relationships or a toxic or a codependent relationship, the person that's being abused are the ones that typically have high self-esteem. And the abuser is the one that has low self-esteem. So I want to go down this list so that we can understand the differences. So the person that deals with high self-esteem, they're rational, realism, they're flexible, they're creative, they're independent, they're able to manage change. So they adapt to things very easily. They're willing to admit that they're wrong, they're willing to be corrected, and they're humble enough to say that they're sorry. A person with high self-esteem will make a mistake and won't try and cover it up. They're benevolent, they're cooperative, they express themselves well without being offensive. They seek challenges because they desire to grow. So most people that have so high self-esteem, they value honest communications. They are equipped to cope with natural and physical disasters, disappointments, not saying that they don't hurt because we all hurt and we go through things, but they're quicker to recover from whatever happens to them. So people with high self-esteem, they tend to be more ambitious and have a zeal to experience life. They form nourishing and healthy relationships. They're more persistent in difficult times. They love to solve problems, and if they can't solve it on their own, they don't have a problem asking for help. They love to take risks, and they tolerate frustrations well. Like, they get frustrated, but they don't get all caught up in a moment. Now we're going to contrast that. Now, remember, I said the person that is being abused or controlled tend to have the high self-esteem. Now, the person with the low self-esteem, the one that's doing the abusive behavior, the one that is releasing toxic energy to that person, they are the ones that struggle with low self-esteem. So let's look at their list. They tend to be irrational, blind to reality. They live on Fantasy Island, and I love to say, remember the show, The Fantasy Island? Did you ever watch that, Mike?
Oh, yes, I used to watch that. My favorite guy was the little short, little midget guy that was in there.
Yeah, the I don't know his name, but he said, exactly, that's what I was going to say. And I love to use, anytime I'm talking about reality and fantasy, I often refer to that movie because that was my favorite scene too. But it's so important that we understand the difference between the two, because reality is dealing with the truth. It's being rational. It's being realistic. But when we deal on Fantasy Island, We just believe in lies. It's quick to be deceived. You operate in deceptive ways. There's always smoke screens. And so the person with low self-esteem, they're blind to reality, and they live on Fantasy Island. They're very rigid. They're fearful of the new and unfamiliar places and things. They use inappropriate language. They're defensive, inappropriate behavior at times as well. They're over-compliant. They're over-controlling. They're overly manipulative. They have a fear of hostility towards others. And they love to instill fear in others. They love being hostile. They have a very hostile and antagonistic spirit. They always want to prove themselves right. They will never say that they're wrong. They seek safety, from familiar places and people. The evasive, inappropriate, they use evasive and inappropriate communications, and they're less equipped to cope. So they're not able to cope as well as a person with high self-esteem. They are quick to, they're not able to recover quickly. They lack aspirations, goals, visions, and dreams. They form, listen to this, they form toxic relationships. They give up easily. They worry about problems. They avoid risk, and they are easily frustrated. So there's a big difference between a person that has high self-esteem and a person that has low self-esteem. So I'm going to use an example here. Earlier when I said that a person that is toxic and is releasing negative energy into the life of another person. So here we have, and I'm going to use you as an example, Mike, since you volunteered, you raised your hand. You have high self-esteem, but during that season in your life when you was in an abusive relationship, the person that was manipulating you, the person that was irrational, they attacked you in those areas where you were weak in that moment. And the enemy came and stole the little bit of power you had. And so when he stole that power you had, he stole your voice, and you began to believe the lies, and you didn't speak up for yourself because you felt like what the person was saying was true. But somewhere in your relationship, you began to fight back. And when I interviewed you on the radio show, you said you started putting up positive quotes on your wall, and you started speaking these things every day. And then as your relationship grew with God, you started believing the things that God said to you. So this is going to lead me to say to our listeners, you are talking to Stacey Lunsford on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and you're also speaking with Michael S. Smith, who is a new published author of a book entitled Yes, You Are. This program tonight was not planned. I had my itinerary. I had everything, my agenda, what I wanted to speak about, but I did not know that Michael was going to be here until right before we came on the air. So this was not planned or rehearsed. But, Michael, your book, Yes, You Are, is a very positive book. It's a very uplifting book. And your book teaches people how to stay in agreement with what God said about them. So based on the discussion and everything that we brought to the table thus far, what part of your book fits into this conversation right now? What can you share with our listeners to encourage them?
Well, it really comes down to the power of our words, the words that we speak to others and the words we speak to ourselves. And, you know, we've talked about this before where I talk about the 21-gun salute, which is in my book. And that shows just how powerful our words really are. So if you want me to go ahead and share that section with everybody, you know, this time, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay, you can. Yes, you can.
Let me get there.
And while Michael is looking for that chapter, I want to thank everyone for tuning in, for those of you that are listening via the internet or those of you that are in the queue in the waiting room. We thank you for your presence. But if you have a question or a comment, please write it on the message board, those that are listening via the internet, and those that are on the couch, please press 1 if there's something you would like to contribute to the conversation. And we would like to say thank you so much for joining us and to remind you that there is greatness inside of you. You are a good thing. You are more than conqueror. You are an overcomer. Yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows everything about you. He knows what you do right, what you do wrong. He knows where you've been hurt, where you've been wounded. And guess what? God still loves you. You are the apple of his eyes. And we're here tonight to remind you that God loves you. He wants you to run to him, not away from him. And if you've been in or you're coming out of an abusive relationship and you need someone to talk to, you have a prayer request, we are here to help you. We will pray with you. We have counselors that I can assign you to, and there's wonderful people that are working with us, and we don't want anything from you other than to see you healed and whole. So thank you so much for joining us. And Mike, let me know when you're ready.
I am ready. I had to be the one to join the audience. So
okay.
Back in my... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Oops. I'll pick it off the speaker. Okay. Yeah, I had to be the one to be part of the audience. So I had to get away from you. Anyway, I'm ready with this. But anyway, as I said, this is what I call a 21-gun salute. Our words are powerful, and I'll say it again. Our words are powerful. The words we speak start out as a thought that enters our mind and eventually comes out our mouths. Thoughts come from one of two places, either God or Satan. God's words are positive. Satan's words are negative. Our words can either build us up, which are positive words, or tear us down, which are negative words. And the words we speak to others can have the same effect. Proverbs 18:21 tells us just how powerful our words are. Power of life and death are in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Most people have probably heard of something called a 21-gun salute. That is where 7 military members fire 3 shots in the air to celebrate something good or to pay tribute to someone who made an impact. The same analogy can be applied in a biblical sense to our words. Instead of the traditional meaning of a 21-gun salute, I would like you to think of it in a different way. What are your words worthy of? Are they worthy of 21 angels singing praises to God for them, or are they worth 21 demons shooting fiery darts at you? Do your words deserve 21 people shooting guns in the air in praise of what you said, or 21 people pointing guns right at you for the hateful and hurtful things you said? Ouch, that puts a completely different perspective on what we think or say, doesn't it? I'll be the first to admit here that my words often have not been deserving of 21 angels singing praises to God for them or 21 people shooting guns in the air. And I'm 100% certain that pretty much everyone who is listening right now can say the same thing, or they'll completely deny it like Peter did when Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times, which is exactly what he did. And when the rooster crowed, he realized that Jesus had spoken the truth about him, and he went outside in the courtyard and wept bitterly. Does that describe any of us? I know it does me more often than I want to admit. So how do we change that? The Bible talks about a thought that comes into our mind, which comes out of our mouth. Positive thoughts are from God, and negative thoughts come from Satan. So you have 2 options. You can either accept the thought that comes into your mind, or you can reject it. Change what you allow into your mind that will come out of your mouth, and you will not only change your own life, but the lives of your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your city, your state, your country, and even the world. The following is true about the words we speak. They can create or they can destroy. They can be beneficial or they can be detrimental. They are loving or they are hateful. They can build up or they can tear down. They can bring joy or they can bring sorrow. They can hurt or they can heal. They can bring comfort or they can cause pain. They can create success or they can create failure. So we all have a choice to speak either words of life or words of death to ourselves and others. And I challenge everyone listening here tonight to always speak words of life. When you realize just how powerful your words are and the potential they have to positively or negatively affect people, places, and things, you have the ability to change what you allow in your mind that will come out of your mouth. Until you realize the power of your words and the impact they can have on others, not only you, but others around you, your words will never change. And I have the saying, whatever follows your I am statements determines who you are or who you will become. So why not say positive words to yourself every day?
Amen. I love that chapter. And
yes, it's powerful.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
And the I am statements. Can you explain to our listening audience, Mike, what an I am statement is for those that don't know?
Well, I am statements, the way that I'm using them is, or have used them, is where you pick a positive word, like, you know, I am loved, and you start speaking those things out loud to yourself. And you can even turn around and go as far as, you know, turning it into a little short prayer, for example. You know, I thank you, God, that you rescued me. For your word says in Psalm 18:17, put my glass back on because I'm having a hard time reading here. Sorry about that. I'll start this over. I thank you, God, that you rescued me. For your word says in Psalm 18:17, he rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. God has a lot of wonderful things to say about each and every person that you can turn into an I am statement. And then have a verse of scripture that correlates with that I am statement for further proof that it's true, or for reassurance, or however you choose to use it.
Yes. And I just want to add on, it's a very good practice to start using I am statements. Or I'm sorry, say that again.
Said stay away from the negative ones. Like, you know, if you've been around in a lot of toxic situations and people have said horrible things to you, don't sit there and start saying, I am an idiot. That is not a positive I am statement. You know, I'm stupid, or I'm worthless, or whatever. You turn that around and say the exact opposite.
And even if someone says something or do something negative to you, and it could be very offensive, they could be very abrasive with their words, you should, if we're talking about toxic people, toxic relationships. So if you know that person is like a hothead, that whatever you say, they're not going to receive it in the same spirit it was given, and they're going to retaliate against you, think twice about what you're about to say. An example is, I call you an idiot. I say, Michael, you are an idiot. And your first response may be, I don't know who you think you're talking to, but you ain't going to sit there and call me no idiot. Like, you're going to come back at me like that. And then we're going to really start arguing. And I'm going to tell you why I think you're an idiot, and you did something that was just really stupid, and you're going to come back again. So a nice way to say, What's an I statement you can use to respond to me calling you an idiot? Statement. I feel.
I can say, I don't receive that, because that's not what God's word says about me.
What do you mean you don't receive that?
Because God's word says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm not the idiot you're talking about.
But did you see what you just did?
What did I do?
You just did something that was just stupid. I don't agree with what you did.
Okay. We all make mistakes. That does not mean we're stupid. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. Are you?
No, I'm not perfect. And Mike, no one ever really talked nice to me like you're talking nice to me. And I'm not being very nice to you. So why are you being nice to me?
Because that's God commands us in his word to love everyone, regardless of their, you know, faults, shortcomings, whatever it is. We are to love that person for the person, things that they say or do.
Wow. I want to use a I feel statement. Is that okay?
You're more than welcome to.
Well, Mike, because of the kindness that you just showed me in a negative situation, I feel touched in my heart.
Awesome.
And I feel your love and kindness. And it makes me feel like I can change my behavior. And I want to apologize and say that I'm sorry for calling you an idiot and speaking about things that I really didn't understand.
And I want to thank you for that apology, and I accept it, and I forgive you.
Well, thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, we just gave you an example of the power of I statements. Now, I statements, he said, you can make your declarations when you're in an argument with somebody, or and everything is not toxic all of the time. Sometimes you'll get into arguments with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with the coworkers, and it's easier to say, I feel like if you don't come home from work your regular time and I have dinner prepared for you. My husband is not coming straight home from work, and he's going to hang out with the guys after the basketball game, but he didn't tell me. So when he comes home, I'm sitting at the table or wherever I'm at, and I'm going to say, honey, I feel like you could have taken the time to let me know that you wasn't going to be home in time for dinner, because I could have did something else, or I could have put your food in the warmer. And, you know, that's just an example versus saying, well, why did you stay out so late? Didn't you know that dinner was 5 o'clock? And so that's a very good example, because a lot of times that happens. And if we can reverse it, it could be the husband or it can be the wife. It could be the children. It could be a coworker. We have to be mindful of how we talk to people. Because 9 times out of 10, if we're negative, people's first reactions is to respond. If somebody come at you in a defensive or offensive manner, your natural reaction is to respond in that moment. But that's why we need, the word of God says we need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. So if you need something from somebody, Mike, I feel when you do this, it makes me feel this way. Because you took the time to talk to me and not at me, I can receive. I understand what you was trying to say. So do anybody have any questions on the I am statements or the affirmations before we move on? And if there's anything that stood out to you with Mike's chapter of his book, and Mike, can you tell us the name of your book and how they could purchase a copy of your book?
Okay, the book is titled Yes You Are, Thoughts and Scriptures to Speak Over Yourself and Others. And it officially becomes available on August 15th, but you can pre-buy it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that information, and I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. This has been a very good discussion. And I want to share an excerpt from the Mind's journal, and they have a chart that talks about relationships. So we're going to go down the column of the healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, and then abusive relationships. And this is all to help us understand the warning signs of being in a toxic relationship, an unhealthy relationship, or a healthy relationship and an abusive relationship. So a healthy relationship, you're going to have good communications. And I just gave that demonstration with the I am statement. First, I was speaking very harsh to him, and then he corrected me in love. And because he operated in love, it changed my heart. It softened my heart. And the Word of God says that a soft answer turns away wrath. So, Mike, we just all up in the Word tonight.
That's a good thing.
So, yes, it is. In a healthy relationship, you're going to have good communications. You're going to enjoy each other's company. You're going to be supportive of each other's goals. There will be mutual respect and trust, partners in decision-making, and the goal is to improve self-esteem for each other. So an unhealthy relationship, they say regular arguments. So if you are in a situation, you're in a relationship where you're constantly arguing, bickering, fighting, complaining, one, the Word of God tells us in Philippians, the second chapter, to do all things without disputing, without complaining. And that's very hard sometimes when you're with a person that's always mouthing off, that's always aggressive, that's always, you know, combative, always want to fight. Yep. So an unhealthy relationship, only spending time with your partner. You don't do nothing else. You don't spend time with your friends. You don't even take time out for yourself. We have to be real careful not to choke a person. And what I mean by that, not choking them physically, but sucking the life out of them, just wanting to be in their presence all the time, and you just don't give them a break. Everybody needs a break. Everybody needs to spend time alone, time with God, time with their friends. Mike, how do you feel about that?
I completely agree with you. I mean, I've been in situations where, you know, either because of it, you know, the insecurity that I've felt from other things that I've dealt with, where I felt like I had to be around the person all the time. And I know there's been a couple of people that I was around me that probably felt the same way. And I didn't realize how unhealthy that could be. You know, I mean, people do need space sometimes. And, you know,
yes.
And that's one of the things that no one ever taught me, what was, you know, how, you know, where the balance should be. And I'm learning this stuff much later in life than I would have liked to.
But you know what? You're learning. We
right.
all have learned in our latter years.
Yes.
And I love to say, when we learn better, we do better.
That's true.
And there's a whole lot of things, like even today, I'm doing things better than I did last week because I'm always learning and I'm always growing. And Mike, I'm not always right. Sometimes my attitude is wrong. Sometimes I say things wrong. Sometimes I think things wrong. And don't think I'm exempt from the attacks from the enemy, because I am. Sometimes he try to make me doubt that I can do this work that I'm doing for God. And I have to come back with the Word of God. You know, I've learned not to get caught up in conversations with him, but to simply speak the Word. Because yeah. when Jesus was on, you know, when the Holy Spirit led him in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil, everything yeah. that Satan did, Jesus responded with the Word of God.
He did.
And that's all we need to do, is respond
right.
with the Word of God. He speak a lie, we need to speak the truth. And the truth
yep.
is in his Word. So even if we have to pick up the Bible and read it from the Bible, we need to say what God is saying and silence the devil. So before we go any further, I want to give the scripture for, I want to give the street address for the scripture that I used earlier, because I said be slow to speak and quick to listen, but it's slow to speak and slow to wrath. It depends on what version you're listening to. But in the Amplified version, this is James, the first chapter in the 19th verse, but I'm going to read in the Amplified version. It says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let everyone be quick to hear, be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. And then the Amplified PC says, understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. So these different translations really connects with what we've been talking about tonight. Because, and even the section that you read in your book, the power of words. We speak life or we speak death. Whenever we speak, faith is being produced. So if we're speaking negative faith, something negative is going to grow out of those negative words. If we're speaking positive faith, something positive is going to grow out of those words. Now, when we're dealing with toxic people and toxic relationships, they are going to speak poisonous words. And they're going to avoid, going back to the list for the Minds Journal, they're going to avoid having positive conversations. They're going to dominate the conversation. They're going to overtalk you. They're going to argue. They're going to be negative. They're going to use negative words, and they're going to release negative faith. And at that moment when you realize what they're doing, you don't have to say it out loud, but you could quietly pray in your heart and just say, God, I pray for this person. And I cover my mind, body, soul, and spirit with the blood of Jesus. I reject what they're saying. I'm not in agreement with what they're saying. What they're saying is not even true, and I'm just rejecting it now so it don't enter into my heart or my spirit. And that's how we cancel the assignment of the enemy. And avoid unhealthy confrontation, because I didn't get into the points of the abusive behaviors, and we'll have to get into that another time because we're coming to the end of this broadcast. But with unhealthy relationships, they also cross boundaries, and they ignore the boundaries that people set. And sometimes you could tell a person, and I think in relationships you need to set healthy boundaries, because if you don't, I won't know what I can do or what I can't do with you. And then if you let me do what I want to do, you losing your voice and your power and your authority, and I'm going to walk over you. I'm going to be a pushover. I'm not saying that's how I am, but the average person, that's what they'll do. And there's a lot of people that don't speak up for themselves, and that's why they get taken advantage of. Because they have not learned how to set healthy boundaries. And I think for part two, I'm going to do a section that is just solely on setting healthy boundaries, but also taking a look at unhealthy boundaries. Because a lot of people are afraid to advocate for themselves. And then we have some people that don't want to advocate for themselves because they got so much anger built up inside of them. And they're afraid that if their anger is unleashed, that they're really going to hurt somebody. And to be honest, they can. I've been in that situation, and I tell you, it wasn't a nice situation. So we have to learn how to establish healthy boundaries and be strong enough and honest enough to let people know when we cross that boundary. But again, if we don't tell them, they don't know. So we have to be truth tellers and speak the truth in love. Anything? Correct. Before I go to the next column?
One of the things that I was thinking about a few minutes ago was, you know, how do you handle things when people come at you with an accusatory attitude? Like, where were you? Who were you? You know, like, accusing you of being with somebody else and you just wanted to go off by yourself and just have a little time for yourself. That's happened
to me.
Great
question.
Even recently. You know, why are you accusing me of something when you weren't even there?
And how did you respond?
Your honest response,
your original response, and then your response after that response.
Well, I did not. I mean, you know, because I've dealt with, you know, accusatory people so much in my life, my response wasn't what it should have been. I said, you know, I wasn't with anybody. You know, I came over to the state park today just to. You know, be in the hot springs pools and stuff like that. I went for a drive looking at properties that I might get someday. You know, and I was gone for hours. But, you know, I just turned around and going, you know, I'm not with anybody. I was just spending time with myself doing what I wanted to do. You know, and kind of with an attitude, which wasn't the right way of approaching it, I should have just said, you know, I wanted a little time with myself. I'm sorry I didn't tell you where I was going, but, you know, I just wanted, you know, to have time with myself. I spent all weekend even at the state park during our festival, you know, trying to promote my book, you know, to the point where it got late into the evening.
Okay. Well, so thank you for your transparency, and thank you for understanding how you responded and how you could have responded differently. And that's what this is all about. You know, whoever is listening, whether they're listening now or may listen later, I hope that they will learn, especially from our little role play that we did, that there's different ways that we can express ourselves. We don't have to be aggressive. We don't have to be nasty. We don't have to be toxic.
Yeah, the way we did that role play was the way I should have handled the situation earlier today.
There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you just make that, you already apologize. If you feel bad, if you still feel bad, you can apologize again and say, you know what, I was thinking about my reaction, and I really want to tell you that I'm sorry. But I realized that you was concerned about me, and I feel grateful that you thought about me that way. So I just want to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's just an example. You don't have to do that.
That's it.
But
right.
I want to give
You're
an example
right.
for the other person. They could have said, sweetheart, I really missed you. I feel abandoned when you just leave and don't tell me where you're going, and I would feel better if you just let me know. I'm going out for a little while. I need some time to myself, because I'll totally understand and even support that. But just communicate with me better, okay?
Yes, ideally that is what you want to see happen every single time.
That's your prayer point.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I think a lot of times if a person's insecure within themselves, they'll come at you from an accusatory angle.
Yes.
Instead,
and that's why. Go ahead.
I said, okay, you know, why were you gone so long? Who were you with? You know, what's your name? Peace, that's your name, you know, tranquility. there's actually triplets there. It's peace, quiet, and tranquility.
That's beautiful. But you know what?
That's a prayer point.
And you know,
that is a good
example of, you know, partners needing their time away from each other. So maybe that's a discussion that you all can have, you know, at a later time. But thank you so much again. I love your transparency. That's how we heal, and that's how we get through a lot of things. But these are wonderful examples. So for the sake of time, we're going to go quickly through the abusive column in relationships. We have controlling you, controlling who you spend time with, controlling the time that you have for yourself, for them, for projects around the house. I want you to do this now. You can't go there. They want to control everything you do, everything, everywhere you go. False accusations of cheating, which you just mentioned. Gaslighting, manipulating, lying, then denying it. And then people love to laugh and say, I was only playing. I didn't mean it. No, they meant everything they said. They just wasn't strong enough to be honest and say, I'm telling the truth. So we have unpredictable or threatening behavior. So this is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And our topic tonight was, first I ran to you, now I run from you. And we have been talking about toxic relationships that started out healthy and ended up unhealthy. And we just went through the Mind's Journal, key points for healthy, unhealthy, and abusive relationships. So whatever column you find yourself in, we want you to go to God in prayer and talk to him about it first. And then if you need to speak to whoever you need to speak to, because remember, we're talking about a variety of relationships, husband and wives, boyfriend and girlfriends, siblings, parental relationships, and business, ministry, work, it doesn't matter. We're in relationships. Everything we do, we're in a relationship with someone. And the goal is to build harmonious relationships. And somebody, you may be coming out of an abusive relationship. You may be in an abusive relationship. You may be in a toxic relationship. You may be in a codependent relationship, and you don't see a way out. There's always a way out. But for those that are in abusive relationships, as a survivor of domestic violence, from the outside looking in, it's easy to tell a person you need to pack up and you need to leave. But unless you know that person's situation, you can be setting them up to be murdered or to be severely hurt. If you don't know their situation, please don't give them advice like that, because it could place them in harm's way. We do recommend safety planning, where a person can safely plan their escape with the help of loved ones and even our police department or someone from a domestic violence shelter or center. But if you would like to know more about domestic violence and even safety planning, please feel free to visit my website at www.eloquentlyspeaking.com. You can also email me at ariseandshine@aol.com. And I would like for Mike to give the book that he wrote, Yes You Are. Well, I'll give, Mike wrote the book. Michael S. Smith is the author of a new book, Yes You Are. He read an excerpt from his book tonight. And what chapter was that, Michael?
That was in chapter one.
Okay, chapter one, the 21 salute, and he talked about the power of speaking positive words. And so we did a little role play with the I feel statements, and we talked about forgiveness, healing, creating, asking God to create in us a clean heart. I mean, it was a very, very good conversation. And if you are listening and you didn't tune in on the beginning of this discussion, please take the time to listen from the beginning. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to post them on the blog page, or you could post them on Facebook, and we'll be more than happy to help you. And I want to address those that have been listening on the in the waiting room on the couch. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to bring this session to a close. Do you have any questions or comments?
Well, one of the things I was going to say a minute ago, too, is when we were talking about I am statements, I have a whole lot of I am statements in chapter 5 of my book that you can use to form a positive thoughts wall of your own. that you can speak out loud to yourself every day.
Okay. And Mike, I know you've been posting a lot of your positive affirmations on the radio page, but I want to give a shout out to you for your group on Facebook, which is Yes, You Are. So for those of you that are listening, if you want to get weekly, daily inspirational affirmations, please visit Mike S. Smith group on Facebook, which is Yes, You Are. You can also visit Eloquently Speaking Radio Network on Facebook, where we share inspirational messages of hope every day throughout the day. But Mike also posts his I Am statements. And I am going to start, I'm going to follow pursuit, because there, I think with these type of discussions, we need to post some prayers and we need to post some I Am affirmations to help those just retain the information that we're sharing, and also help them establish healthy boundaries that will prevent them from being in these toxic relationships as well. Prayer. And I want to acknowledge a very powerful woman of God. Her name is Dr. Annabelle Neal. And Dr. Annabelle Neal has gone home to be with the Lord. But she wrote a very powerful prayer. The 4 points that I gave earlier when I said we want to ask God to correct, cleanse, and sanctify our hearts, our mind, our body, our soul. But she wrote our outlook on life. Well, I want to read a little bit of this prayer that she wrote, because it's talking about cleansing and correcting our thought process, how we believe, how we perceive things. And Mike, and those that are listening, the reason that I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you all to touch and agree with me, and it's lined up with Psalms 51 and verse 10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. But the main reason is all of the negative things that have happened to us and the negative words that have pierced our hearts and our minds that wounded us, lies and hurtful, painful things that we believe that transformed our false identity. It's not who we are. So through this little prayer, but powerful prayer from Dr. Annabelle Neal, God is going to change us from the inside out. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for correcting the way that we perceive things, so that all that goes into our mind is first sifted by the Holy Spirit. Correct the way we hear things, so that we hear through the Holy Spirit and not through any prejudices or biases. Overhaul our attitude and bring down every stronghold in our lives. Move by your Spirit in our understanding, in our temperance, in our character, and in our spiritual development of the following areas: maturity, assuming responsibility, integrity, faithfulness, steadfastness. Change any wrong ideologies and prejudices that we may have concerning spiritual things and those negative words that have been spoken over our lives. Help us to let go of tradition, prejudices, and any private interpretation of spiritual things and negative words that have been spoken over our lives. Help us to come out of denial and deliver us from wrong doctrines and teachings taught to us. Teach us how to hear you and then listen and obey you. Help us to come out from under all works of witchcraft, which includes being manipulated, controlled, and intimidated by others. Help us to become our own people, to renounce and then walk in the spirit of deliverance from all inferiorities complexes, and other demonic controls and influences over our lives. Teach us how to seek your face, your kingdom, and your righteousness, not to only receive all things being added to us, but in doing so, we will also be seeking after your heart and mind, which pleases you. Teach us how to humble ourselves to you and your will. God, give us the courage to face our secret faults and to apply the blood to our inefficiencies, our weaknesses, our willful acts of sin, offering you no justifications. Let us see ourselves in the nakedness in which you see us. Help us to count the cost of our service to you in this new dimension, hallelujah, in this new place. Allow us to display our degree of faithfulness and services to you by breaking our alabaster box, and allow us to pour out the oil upon your feet, because God, it's all about you. Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, it's all about you. Give us the assurance to know that it's your voice and to be certain that the promptings that we're sensing are of you. Help us to develop a spirit of instant obedience and not to analyze your command or instruction and miss your timing. Help us to work out our own salvation, exercising and using our gifts for your glory and honor. And help us to forgive and to set our will not to remember offense against us. We must learn how to love first you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, ourselves, and then others. Help us to love everyone with your agape love. In this prayer, we humbly submit in Jesus' name with thanksgiving in our heart. And God, we just want to say thank you for this wonderful teaching from Dr. Annabelle Neal that is still blessing people today, even in her absence. So that brings us to the end of tonight's message. First, I ran to you. Now I run from you. And we will be gathering together again for part two. Do we have any questions or comments or prayer requests before we close out? Okay. Well, thank you all for joining me. Everyone, please have a blessed night. And again, you can reach Michael S. Smith at Yes You Are on Facebook. And you can reach me, Eloquently Speaking, Stacey Lunsford, at Eloquently Speaking Radio Network on Facebook or www.eloquentlyspeaking.com. Thank you, God, for this platform to bring glory and honor to your name. Bless all of the listeners and help us to retain what we have learned tonight, and help everyone to really understand that they received a new heart, a change of heart tonight. We love you, God. Everyone have a blessed night. Love you. Good night.
Love you. Thank you, Stacey.
Oh, you're welcome, Michael. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Bye, Annie. Bye, Irene. Bye-bye.